This is Stories I'll Never Write, episode number 7. Welcome to my podcast, Stories I'll Never Write. Hopefully, welcome back to my podcast. This is episode number 7, so I'm hoping to get to 10 and then maybe to 15 after that if it's an enjoyable experience. This is a podcast where I sit down and explain. Let me back up a second. My name is Nicholas Liebrecht, and I'm a father, teacher, painter, poet, dog owner, and I also write kind of, sort of, and I'm also an artist. What I like to write down are ideas and concepts for movies, books, TV shows, video games, songs, and stuff. But I know I'm never going to do anything with any of them. So on this podcast, I sit down with one of my old friends. It's kind of an excuse for me to reconnect with some of my old friends. I've been a little bit of a hermit since I've been raising my kid by myself. And so I get to reconnect with one of my old friends, and I pitch him an idea for a movie, book, story, video game, I don't know yet. It's just a story idea or concept, and get their reaction to it live in real time. And kind of like getting these ideas, purging them out of my head just to get them out there into the universe, and I hope somebody steals them. In fact, you're not stealing it. Let's remove the criminal element. I'm freely giving these away. If you want to take them straight outright and make a movie or write a book or do a comic book, be my guest. Find me, send me a check, give me some credit, or don't. I don't care. I promise there will never be any legal action against you for taking any of this intellectual property. It's not property. It's just like some thoughts that have passed through my mind, and I just want to get them out. And then I can be done with them, and then I can come up with more stupid ideas. So if you like anything you hear, make your student film. Make your YouTube video. Do something with it. This one today is like one of my favorites, and it's out of all the ones that I have written down for the series of these episodes, it is the one that I hope somebody steals the most, because I would love to see it in somewhere other than just my mind. Okay, well, I guess that's my disclaimer. This episode of Stories I'll Never Write is brought to you by the concept of boredom. If it wasn't for boredom, I don't think there would be a lot of creativity in the world. Boredom is underrated. People have phones and video game systems and 1 million channels and just unlimited entertainment and distraction at their fingertips 24 hours a day. It's very, very challenging to find some time to get stuff done, creative endeavors especially, because there is always something else and, quite frankly, something better to do. Without boredom, I don't think I would have started this podcast. I'm a teacher, so at the end of summer, I was like, oh man, I should really just do it because I was bored. And maybe you're even listening to this today because you're bored. Boredom is the fertile soil in which creativity grows. I firmly believe that. And if you have a kid, or maybe it's a concept for yourself, allow yourself to be bored. Turn off the TV. Don't always have a distracting video playing in the background, or God forbid, news. Allow yourself to enjoy a blank moment, an empty headspace, and see what crawls in there. That's what's important. See what creeps and crawls in there. That's what's important, you know. If it wasn't for me staring off into space half the time, like, these ideas wouldn't flitter across my mental landscape. So, yeah, this episode is brought to you by boredom, and I 100% fully endorse it. Whoosh, when a problem comes along, you must fix it. You can sing a stupid song until you fix it. Just don't sing too long, you need to fix it. Merrily, merrily, merrily. Life is but a dream. I'm sitting down with Sarah today to tell her a little tale and see what she thinks of it. So tell us just a little bit about yourself, Sarah.
I am a tattooed mother of one who works in behavioral health on a adult mobile crisis team. And I've known Nick for...
Too long.
Way too long. We're college buddies.
I think, have we known each other for more years than we haven't? We must have.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's some crazy math. Right there. You tattooed mother. Okay. See, that wasn't a swear word. Okay. This is the 7th podcast, and this one is a story called The Fixer. Okay, I'm excited about this one. This is the only fully formed idea that I've had here in these first 10 podcasts so far that is, like, nearly 100%, it, like, formed in my mind all at once, and I didn't dick around with the idea for weeks writing it down and editing or whatever. It was like it appeared in my mind fully formed, like an immaculate conception. It's also the only one that I've told to the most people over the years, so, like, random people here and there. I knew a kid who was going through film school. I told him this idea, but I've told a few select people this story over the years, because I'm so excited about it. It wouldn't work as a book. It's too short to be a novel. It might work as a comic, but I think it's not long enough to be a feature-length movie, but it could be an award-winning short film or even animated short film. Like, if you think about it, if you ever watch the Academy Awards, nobody knows what the fuck the short film is, right? And they're like, oh, it's between these 7 picks that nobody's ever heard of. But this would be a short film that would make it as a DVD extra, something that people would search out on the internet. I fully believe that. With the right dedication and budget and serious treatment, that is. So it's called The Fixer, and it should be mostly done in the slightly sped up, pre-talky, like, silent motion picture style, like early Chaplin-esque.
Okay.
People moved a little bit faster. There was wrinkly tinkly piano music. There was intermittent cue cards that showed dialogue. People would move their mouth, and then it would cut to the ornate cue card that would say what their dialogue is. And they were black with white writing, if I even remember from the few silent films I've seen. Okay. Purposely a bit overacted, too. Like, on purpose. If you ever saw any silent film, they were still actors who were trained to act on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a bit of melodrama and overacting because they thought they were projecting all the way to the back of the auditorium, right?
Right.
They couldn't just be said. They had to be, you know, wrought, overwrought. So I think, to get it right, whoever makes this should make a real study of those early silent films and be judicious about what details to include. Film grain imperfections, jump cuts, like, that are obviously a little bit jarring even. Camera angles show the work in homage to film history. Or else it will come off as parody instead of a tribute, which the Oscar-winning movie The Artist... Did you ever see The Artist?
No.
Me either. But it proved to be a route to Award Town, okay, right? They did this silent black and white film
And it won an Oscar. Okay,
is this the one where the guy jumped over the chairs to get up to the...
No.
Oh.
No, that was Life is Beautiful, and that was Roberto Benigni, and it was a Holocaust comedy.
A comedy about the Holocaust?
Yes.
Oh.
Which, I remember that. Jerry Lewis was still alive at that time, mm-hmm. and still doing his annual telethon, and he must have pooped his pants when Roberto Benigni won an Academy Award for Life is Beautiful, because one of the great unreleased films ever, like in the history of film, is a Jerry Lewis Holocaust comedy where he was a clown in a concentration camp.
Oh.
And it got buried, and like the Star Wars holiday special is out there on YouTube. People can see it. Even though George Lucas spent a large amount of money trying to destroy every copy of it and stuff, it still got out. But this Jerry Lewis Holocaust comedy got buried, and so he would talk about it in some interviews, and very few people knew about it, and even fewer people had even seen it. And then 30 plus years later, Roberto Benigni, an Italian comedian, does a Holocaust comedy and wins an Academy Award. Yeah.
Huh.
So up yours, Jerry Lewis. Basically, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, so all right. So
get back on track.
Yes, get back on track. Focus. Focus. Okay, so all right. We open up on a cluttered workshop filled with tools and parts and a Mario-esque be-overalled, mustachioed, grease-stained repairman, hard at work, jamming and twisting tools into a nonsense machine and wiping his brow. He attaches one final part and hands it to the waiting customer, who looks like a typical scientist with crazy hair, a lab coat. He points to the repaired machine and something and turns it on, and it emits a beam and shrinks the thing to a miniature size. So he's an evil scientist, and this fixer person has just repaired his shrink ray. He accepts a bag with a dollar sign on it for payment, and the scientist shakes his hand and leaves. The next customer comes in with a toaster. Okay. The next customer comes in with a toaster and a charcoal black piece of bread. As this customer comes in, we see that the fixer has a line of customers down the hall, each one with a different item. He's very much in demand. Hours later, he finishes up with the last customer, exhausted, sweaty, and grimy. He flips his window sign to closed, but a young lady runs up, frantically pounds on his door. She's crying, and he lets her in. She shows him a love letter and her locket from around her neck, and he nods in understanding. He then reaches into her chest cavity and rips out her beating heart, a la Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom. A quick stabbity stab, twist, and crank with a few tools, and then he jams the heart back in, staple guns up her chest. She smiles and thanks him, and pays him for fixing her broken heart. Maybe a quick hug before she skedaddles, and then the fixer empties his overflowing cash register from the day's healthy earnings and locks up his shop to go to deposit his money. When he gets... Are you following me so far?
Yeah.
He can fix anything.
I get it. I do. I'm picturing it in my head as you're reading it.
He can fix
anything.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So he's going to deposit his money. When he gets to the ATM, it is out of order. So the fixer removes some tools from his belt and repairs it. He prepares to insert his cash until he feels something in his back. He's being held up. Robbed! At gunpoint, no less! The fixer refuses to give over his hard-earned money, and the robber, now I'm imagining the robber as a Hamburglar type Keystone Cops rascal with a black and white striped shirt and a Zorro style black mask, but maybe that's too much. Anyway, He fires his gun, or at least he tries to. It clicks and clicks, but no bullets come out. Instinctively, the fixer grabs the couple of tools from his belt and repairs the gun quickly. The robber smiles, then fires, and then absconds with the loot, leaving the fixer slumped and bleeding in front of the ATM, his life literally spilling out of him and onto the sidewalk. As the long shot camera slowly zooms in to the dying fixer, it gets closer and closer, and it eventually gets within an arm's length proximity of the dying fixer, and his eyes flutter open painfully. He fiddles down at his belt, and we see his hands come up with some tools and go to the side of the camera itself. The frame shakes as he fixes it, and the picture goes from a grainy black and white to crisp, clear color film. He slumps again, exhausted, and then with his last dying breath of feeble energy, one hand again goes to the side of the camera, and we hear sound. Not the piano or the score, but traffic and birds chirping as the fixer exhales his dying breath and lies still. Fin, or the end, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, here's my question, the first one. Pretty simple one. What's your initial reaction? Would you, if you saw that as one of the Academy Award nominated short films, would you seek it out on YouTube? Would you actually want to watch that?
If they showed me just a clip of it, yeah, I would want to see the whole thing. Definitely.
I guess it would be hard to write a pitch that would make, you know, like you read the back of a movie box and right. It's like, here's one paragraph about Doctor Strange meeting the Scarlet Witch, right? And mayhem ensues. So it would be hard to sum that up that would in a way that would make people want to see it. But you would want to see it because you would know it was based on an idea from me.
Of course.
But if you didn't, does it sound intriguing?
It does.
You can do it intriguing. Okay.
Yeah, that would be $20 now. Thanks.
No, you're not here to shill. So, here's the harder question. If you could fix one thing in your life, or, like, have it magically fixed, what would it be? Yeah, really.
That's a really good question. You should have allowed me to think about this one first.
It's got to be spontaneous. You want me to go first?
Yes.
If I could hit the switch and fix one thing in my life and it would be magically fixed and whatever the genie trick repercussions or whatever, if I said, I want to fix my hair. I want my hair to grow, right? And then my hair would start growing, but I'd get cancer. Like, none of that. This just means fixed, right?
Okay, all right.
If I could get one magical fix, it would probably be, I hate even to say this out loud, but because it sounds selfish and indulgent or whatever, but it would be for my painting side thing to be way more popular. Okay, I'm not going to wish for health or a better job or anything like that, but if I could be maybe not even more wealthy, but more popular in the sense that I would get more commissions and have people interested in my work, I think that would be my number one thing. I'm excluding any sort of wish that I could give to my son. Okay, this is a wish for you.
Okay.
Because it would be, you know, I'd be like, oh, I want Monty to have every superpower ever given to superheroes. Right? That's ridiculous. That's not going to happen.
Jeez.
I didn't stall around enough for you to think of this?
How could I think of it? I was listening to you.
You're supposed to just let me ramble and not listen to me while you thought of something.
Oh, my apologies.
I like that you're taking this question so seriously, like someone's listening and your wish is gonna happen. It's not gonna happen.
How do you know that?
Okay, all right. You're speaking to the universe now, Sarah. What is the one thing that you want magically fixed?
God.
Not in the world. You can't say world hunger. Okay, this is something for you.
Okay. I mean, it can be anything.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. You want to be taller?
Watch it. this is kind of selfish, I guess.
You want to be a black belt in karate?
I already am.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I am not.
Okay.
To honestly not be alone anymore.
Okay. Then there's no trick to that. That you would get that wish granted. It's not like you would grow a extra head out of your shoulder. Right? You're like, no. You're not alone anymore because now you have a second head. Okay. All right. And then this one's easier question. Okay. That I don't know why I didn't end with a fastball, right?
Right.
Because this one's kind of a softball question. What is the last thing that you fixed? Again, I'll tell you mine first. Okay.
Okay.
What do you think? But don't listen to me this time. Think of your thing. Okay.
Okay.
I have an exercise bike over here. I try to do 10 miles a day on it. And it was making such a loud noise. It was going wong, 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 wong. I'm like, crap, that's going to wake Monty up in the morning because it was getting so loud. So I took it all apart, tightened everything, right? And put it all back together and redid the tension on every spring. It was a mess. And then I put it all back together, and I got on it. Wong, 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 wong. It's still doing it. And then I sprayed WD-40 into this hole where I listened to it. Really, I'm like, where's that sound coming from? And I found the hole where the sound was coming from, and I just went, psh, and it fixed it.
Right on. Good
yeah.
for you.
Yeah. I was so proud of myself. I was like, why didn't I have a video of that to show my dad so he'd love me?
So, this was the last thing I fixed?
The last thing I fixed.
Or can it just be anything that I'm proud of?
Nobody will ever know. So, yes. Either. Both. It could even be dinner, right? Right? If you're liberally interpreting the word fixed.
I installed a garbage disposal to replace a rusted through one all by myself.
No way!
Way.
How do you even know where to start to do that?
YouTube.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I bought the same model and at Home Depot, and then I just watched some YouTube videos, and bada bing, bada boom.
Cool.
New garbage disposal. I was awesome. Very proud of myself for that.
That's... I know you didn't do it on purpose, but you totally, like, topped my
story. Didn't do it on purpose.
A garbage disposal. But I'm a renter, so I wouldn't have to, right? I just call my landlord.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I...
not a renter.
I don't know if I could. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to the story. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you. And let's hang out again in another 35 years. Let's not just hang out to
do
this.
I don't think it's been 35.
I know.
I think that's a bit of an exaggeration.
I'm exaggerating.
It's more like...
I'm exaggerating.
Let's see. 12. Probably like 10.
Okay. Well, instead of that, let's hang out over the winter break.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we can do
that. I got you on the record. So you can't back out because I just recorded it.
Okay.
I'll give you the last word.
Give me the last word.
The last word here.
I know. I just said it.
Oh, okay. All right. Now it's time for my million-dollar ideas segment. Okay. There's a couple things that are happening in the bars of Oregon, Portland, Oregon, and that is the Oregon State Lottery is... got a real presence with video poker.
And God, I'm kind of thinking back to childhood memory when Rainier beer had some sort of twist off cap that as a kid it had a anagram or a puzzle in it or something, and like there was something about the physical beer bottle that was fun. I mean, I was a kid and, you know, surrounded by some alcoholic uncles and shit, but here's my idea. All right, $1 million idea. Lottery beers and poker beers. So, number one, it's a beer bottle with a lottery ticket on it, and you pull off a tab or twist off a cap, and not only can you win $1 or $100 in cash or whatever, right, whatever the payout is, but you could also just win one free beer. So lottery beers, great idea, because, you know, it might just be some regular local Pabst-ish type of beer, Coors Light-ish type of beer, but people would buy it because with every bottle you get a chance to be a winner. And who doesn't like to be a winner? The second one's a little bit harder, and that is poker beers. And so that is two people who have to buy beers at the same time, and then they scratch off the label or rip off the tab from the label or undo the bottle cap, and they find out which one of them has a better hand. So it's immediate. Whoever has the better hand wins. Whoever has the worse hand has to pay for both beers. But you're playing against another person in every scenario with the poker beers. So it could just be you and the bartender. If you buy your poker beer, then the bartender pushes a button on the lottery computer and it comes up with a randomly generated hand. So you could play against the house every time you buy a poker beer. Poker? Poker beer? I don't even know her beer. Who's got the best hand in the commercial? The friends are all sitting around a table. Who's got the best hand? And they all pop off their tops or scratch their labels. We're all winners because we all got Oregon State Lottery beers. Anyway, this doesn't have to be Oregon State Lottery. I'm sure a private enterprise could take that over in any other state. But anyway, take that idea. Make $1 million. You're welcome.
Hey, my friend, I was thinking about the podcast yesterday and your story, and if it were to ever come to fruition, I think, honestly, Kenneth Branagh would be a perfect fit for The Fixer, because he is so animated. And he would do really well at the overacting part that you want to see done because of the type of film, you know, that you would like to turn this into. And I can also see him with that, you know, well, handlebar mustache, but he won't be the villain. Anyway, Kenneth Branagh.
We few. We happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhood's cheap.
whilst any speaks the thought with us upon St. Crispin's Day! Ah!